Translation. What is Divine Grace? Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. On this earth, there are four kinds of living entities who are all created by Him. The material creation rests on His lotus feet. He is the great supreme person, full of opulence and power. May He be pleased with us. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Mahi refers to five material elements, earth, water, air, fire and sky, which rest upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahat Padam Punya Yaso Murari. The Mahat Tattva, the total material energy, rests on his lotus feet, for the cosmic manifestation is but another opulence of the Lord. In this cosmic manifestation, there are four kinds of living entities. Jarayuja, those born from embryos. Andaja, those born from eggs. Svedaja, those born from perspiration. And Udbija, those born from seeds. Everything is generated from the Lord, as confirmed in Vedanta Sutra, Janmadi Yasya Yataha. No one is independent, but the Supreme Soul is completely independent. Janmadi yasya yato nyavad itaras chaturish abhijana svarat. The word svarat means independent. We are dependent, whereas the Supreme Lord is completely independent. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the greatest of all. Even Lord Brahma, who created the cosmic manifestation, is but another opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The material creation is activated by the Lord, and therefore the Lord is not a part of the material creation. The Lord exists in his original spiritual material possession. The universal form of the Lord, Varajamurti, is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyanatamarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksuran Militanjena Tasme Shri Guruvenama Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Jarati Svapadantika Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Ari Priya Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, as it's Varaj's appearance day, first of all, I'd like to ask blessings from all the Vaishnavas present here. Give me your blessings to speak some words of wisdom from this great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shishi Gonitaya Ki Jai. So, as it's Varaj's appearance day, we should really specifically, would have, you know, created a class on the pastimes of Varaha, but I was given a text, so at the end of the class. But because Srila Prabhupada in the purport is kind of connecting this purport to demons, the Mura demon, so it's kind of connected, the boy incarnation, the Varaha, it's kind of connected. So we'll talk about, and two devotees came and said they're already speaking about the stories about Lord Varaha there, so I shouldn't get too deep into, you know, the story. So anyway, we'll carry on with today's verse, which is very, very amazing. And these verses, the prayers by Lord Brahma, from the beginning now, it just explains the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how inconceivable he is, and how insignificant we are, in fact. Still, by saying we are insignificant, there's still the inferior energy, material energy, and then non-activated and the activated energy, who are us, the living entities, who are superior, because we have the intelligence to make inquiries and understand who we are, and in due course of time attain the Supreme Lord. So, Krishna actually comes in three features. He expands himself in three features for the creation of this material world. First, he expands himself as Karnakshaya Vishnu, where universes come out from the skin holes of his body. How inconceivable is that? Can we actually count the skin holes on our body? But Karnakshaya Vishnu, Krishna, is lying on the causal ocean, and from his body, from the skin holes of his body, comes out hundreds and thousands, millions of universes. So from then comes the next expansion, who is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, who actually enters into each of these universes. And then also the third expansion is Kishodakshaya Vishnu, who is the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, who also enters in each one of these planets. He enters as the super soul in everyone's heart, and he also appears as particles in every object, everything in this material world. So there is no question of anything in this material world being separate from the Supreme Lord. No matter how insignificant, how little anything can be, it's all. Sometimes they explain that the material world is the backside of the Lord and his spiritual energy is the front. So there's no separation between the two. One is temporary and the other one is eternal. The spiritual world is eternal, the material world is temporary. Because we wanted some independence in the spiritual world, wanted a little independence, explain that. There's a nice example in the Bhagavatam. It says that Maya is actually waiting outside the spiritual world. She's waiting to see which living entity acts or does anything separate from Krishna's, for Krishna's pleasure. So if there's a slightest tinge in the hearts of the devotees serving Krishna, she just captures them from the spiritual realm. This is just like the spider creating a web. And then it waits. It doesn't do anything. It just waits in the center. As soon as there's a fly or any flying objects coming in front, it just draws it in so it has food. Just like that, the Maya, she has the stars to do that, to bring us here. So Krishna gives us a little free will to try and enjoy ourselves, to see how much we can enjoy. And we're frustrated, then we want to go back home, back to Godhead. And he gives us time for doing that. And some people take longer than others. All our actions are dependent on our previous activities. So everyone has their own capacity and their own potential and their own level in Krishna consciousness. So it's not our place to judge who is on what level. We should be able to appreciate everyone as devotees of Krishna. And devotees are very, very rare. So we should take advantage to take the association, whether someone is small, you know, up here, up there, wherever, whatever level we have. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, when would that day come when we're walking down the street and we see somebody chanting Haribol, and yet we have devotees in the temple chanting Haribol all the time, and we find it difficult to, establish relationship. I was looking at the song. Prabhupada talks about this verse, discusses about Mahatpadam. Krishna is Mahatpadam. He has the greatest feet of everyone. Why feet? Because the dust from the feet is very insignificant. What to speak of the feet? The feet is the lower part of the body. Now, why would the feet be discussed? The feet is discussed because the feet is connected to humility. Humility and tolerance. If someone's very much elevated, got knowledge, got, you know, maybe five of the six opulences of Krishna, then they can be very puffed up. I got all this knowledge. Or Prabhupada said no one can have six opulences. You can have one, two, up to the number five. We're just counting some of the singers, the pop singers, or, you know, all these very famous people. They have lots of opulence. They have fame, they have beauty, no knowledge, nothing at all. Well, sometimes they meet with devotees, they chant Hare Krishna, what's his name, the comedian. He met Radhanath Swami in Soho Street. Russell Grant, see? So he met Radhanath Swami, some of them met devotees. But these people, they have all riches, they have all fame, they have, beauty, renunciation, forget it. And what was the other thing? Wealth. They got all wealth. They don't know what to do with their money. Like this girl, I felt very, very sorry for, what's her name? Amy Winehouse. It was spread all over. And she had everything. She had everything that you can think of. And her life just wasted. Therefore, it's so, a devotee feels compassion. He feels these people, they have everything in life. How sad it is. So it's our duty to, take this Krishna consciousness so seriously, to give these people, because they're missing something in life. The fame and the adoration, the beauty, all comes from the previous life, which means in this life, they should go further in their, they should have intelligence and understanding. They haven't got the knowledge, they got all the other opulence, but they need to meet somebody, talk to somebody, get some understanding. Unfortunately, they leave the bodies, or something happens to them tragically that they leave before meeting devotees or whatever it is. But so it's our duty. If anyone is suffering, no matter what level they are on, it's not for us. We should be very happy to embrace devotees, no matter what level they are. Sometimes I hear devotees, when they come to the temple, especially the younger generation, teenage life is not easy. Believe me, I got three kids and it's difficult. So I kind of sympathize with their life. It's very, very difficult for them. And it's not only difficult, when they try to practice Krishna consciousness and they feel that devotees are judgmenting them, becoming judgmental of what level they are on, then it's very, very difficult for them to accept Krishna consciousness. They feel like they suffer from an inferior complex, because once a devotee, always a devotee. You know, you no matter what you're doing wrong, you're conscious that what you're doing is wrong. Actually, it's explained that whatever you're doing wrong is an atonement, because you're doing it out of guilt. You know, you're guiltily doing something wrong. You're carrying, everyone comes with their own baggage, Krishna consciousness. Even in this life, we have to suffer certain misery, pain, and even engage in some kind of illicit activities and learn or understand through Maya kicking us on the back that this is not what you do. You're not meant to do this. Come back. So when Jagai and Madai, when they were delivered by Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya wanted to finish them off. He was very, very upset. So Nityananda said, my dear Lord, If you kill these two, you'll have to kill everyone because they're practically everyone are Madais and Jagais in this, you know, Kali Yuga. So how can you? You have to give them your mercy. So they say, it's explained that when a devotee prays for another devotee, Krishna listens more to that devotee than a devotee actually praying for himself. So when we compassionate and we feel we want to help others, Krishna listens to our prayer. But when we think, no, I want to associate with these people because, you know, we understand that we have to associate with like-minded people. Okay, that is there, but higher than that is compassion for the living entities. Tanadapi Saniche Natarul. Those two verses we should like, you know, keep it in our heart. Vancha kalpatrubhyascha kipa sindubhyascha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavabhyo namo. When Garuda gave that class, it was amazing classes he gave, and he said, kalpataru. Devotees are kalpataru. What's kalpataru? Desire tree, right? Kalpataru is desire tree. So he said devotees are desire trees, but it doesn't stop there. Devotees are kripa sindhu. Who is kripa sindhu? An ocean of mercy. Sindhu is ocean, and kripa means mercy. They are an ocean of mercy. If devotees are an ocean of mercy, they are desire trees. So why do we, you know, I am there as well. I mean, when we're talking on the Vyasasan, it's always us as well. We have to look at ourselves. When we point like this, there's three pointing to us. So, what's his name? Devotee, that security, what was his name? So bad memory. Kuveri said to me once, he's always got some thought for the day. Anyone he meets, he's reading Bhagavatam. His security job, you got the Bhagavatam all day, you're looking and you're studying Bhagavatam. Every time he gives me some anecdote. So he said to me once, he said, you know what? You're pointing like this to somebody. This is Krishna there, and he's telling you, you know what? You are three times worse than the person you're pointing to. So he said to me that. So I thought, oh my God, that's a nice thought. Anyway, Garuda was explaining how the devotees are ocean of mercy. You know, creep desire trees, ocean of mercy. So when we see devotees, we should kind of show that we're welcoming them. We love devotees, bright-faced, happy. We have to be happy. If we're morose and we're down, how can you excite people? How can you give them, you know, juice in their Krishna consciousness? No, we cannot. So we have to make them feel happy. And why? I was looking at Guru Vandana's song, actually, and that because we're talking so much about feet, and feet is the lowest part of the body, and that's the nature we should be in. Vanchakalpa, one should be, Trinadapi is one should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others, not only devotees, not only who you like, who you don't like, who you have, a grievance with, who you have a conflict with. Jayadvaita Maharaj said once, there is a difference of opinion with a devotee. Fine, there's no problem with that. You respect the devotee from a distance. No animosity, no curses, no judgments, nothing. There's always that problem. Prabhupada said that even in the spiritual world, there is difference of opinion. But the good thing is every difference is centered around serving Krishna. That is the beauty spot. We have that. So that I was talking about Guru Vandana's song. This feet is, in that song, feet is mentioned five times. And in that song, Padma, lotus, is mentioned about four times. Why? Because the spiritual master is a representative of Krishna. It's non-different. It's explained that Krishna and the spiritual master is the two tracks on a railway line. If a train is moving, it can't move on one track. It needs two tracks to move. That's the spiritual master. Krishna and the spiritual master are the two tracks on a railway line. So the spiritual master, he also has lotus feet. Guru Charana Padma, he also has lotus feet. Why? Because he's just like the lotus that's growing in the water, but not touched by the water. And Sachidanandan Maharaj gave very beautiful examples of the lotus. He said, depends on your Krishna consciousness and how much you're using the sacred space in your heart. That's how much the lotus would bloom. It's amazing, amazing. And he said, as soon as we don't use that sacred space, which is where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated, then what happens is there's a tightness with the lotus. It doesn't open wide enough. You can tell the difference with devotees that are really, like, excited all the time. All the time they have energy to do this, to do that, to be with devotees, to laugh, to smile, you know, all the time. Can we give some examples of that? Peter, he's always laughing. No, I'm not laughing all the time. I got my moods, believe me. The boys know. Some people are laughing all the time. They're in ecstasy about Krishna consciousness. So we have to develop that mood on how we can rub off this Krishna consciousness on others. And there's so many examples in Bhagavad Gita about the lotus and the feet, how it's separate. Krishna, like Prabhupada, is here in this material planet. At the same time, he's been sent to give us Krishna. We might think, he has a material body and he's doing everything the same as everyone else, but he's there and he's not there at the same time. So this is our mentality. And in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3, it's explained that Krishna is completely aloof. Therefore, the material creation is actually at his lotus feet. Why is it at his lotus feet? Because he cares. That's one of his opulence. This material creation is one of his opulence. And he wants us back more than we want to go back, really. So he is planning, he's making so many plans and so many arrangements to get us back through sending spiritual masters, to sending, his representatives, Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, he comes himself, to give us. Now he's made life so easy for us. 500 years ago, he comes as his himself to establish this love of Godhead. And he made our life so simplified. Like Krishna, even in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Sarvadhamam parityajamam ekam saranam raja. He's like very, abandon all varieties of religion, only then you can come to me. But Lord Chaitanya, what he says, he's contradicting Krishna himself. He's saying, no, you don't have to give up anything. You just add the holy name, and then automatically things fall away. We don't have to make a separate endeavor, but at the same time, you have to be focused in your Krishna consciousness. You have to be determined for the goal, to achieve the goal. Okay, there's ups and downs on the way, as that verse. What text is that? Daivi isha gunamai mama maya durachaya. That verse is like Krishna says, calling this is divine energy. This divine energy of mine is very difficult to overcome. He's telling us. And Arjuna, from the beginning to the end, middle of Bhagavad Gita, he's saying, but Krishna this, but Krishna that. He's always asking Krishna, why are you telling me? It's very difficult. Why? And he says, the mind is is more difficult to control than a raging wind. But Krishna says, I know that. I know it's difficult. But you keep pulling it back. Keep pulling it. When the most difficult time is japa, you're trying to chant japa, and then your mind goes this, goes that. You know, all of it. I was trying to learn a prayer, and that's beautiful prayer, about the 16 syllables, you know, the chanting of the holy name, about Radha and Krishna's name. Beautiful. And the first Hari, they say, Sachidanand Maharaj says, you always say the first Hari long because it's Radharani's name and there's more potency in that name. He says, Radharani, oh Radha, please attract my mind and free me from this material world. The whole Hare Krishna mantra is about Radha and Krishna, the meaning of each Radha and Krishna. Then the second one is Hare Krishna. Krishna, please attract my mind and free me from this material world. Oh, Radha, please charm my mind with your sweetness. Oh, Krishna, please, purify my mind, giving me the knowledge by which I can understand you through your pure devotee. Oh, Krishna, steady my mind so I can appreciate your name, form, and pastime. Krishna, please give me, help me to develop the taste for devotional service. Oh, Radha, please engage my mind. Please help. Please let me hear the intimate pastimes. Oh, Krishna, please help me. Let me hear the intimate pastimes of your beloved. See, the mind is like, I feel like, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, take his shoes every morning, hit you at 3 times. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And then it goes, Krishna, please reveal your pastimes of your beloved. Krishna, please reveal your pastimes with your beloved. Oh, Krishna, please engage my mind in appreciating your name, qualities, form, and pastimes. Oh, Krishna, please make me qualified for your service. Oh, Radha, please be pleased with me. Radha, pleased with me. Hare, Hare. The end is Hare, Hare. Radha, be pleased with me. So, if you try to concentrate on hearing the Maha Mantra, and how we are begging, Prabhupada says you have to beg like a crying child. So how are we begging to pray, to, serve Krishna? Because that is our constitutional position. We all know that our constitutional position to be the servant of the servant, you know, our whole life is nothing. This is like a dream. We are mistaking the dream to be a reality. The real dream is up there, but this is the dream we are in. We're thinking that's illusion. Anyway, I'm just going to talk a little bit about Varahadev, which is very, very beautiful. I mean, first I'll talk about the Murari demon. Prabhupada mentions Murari. Anyone know the story about Murari, the Mura demon? Anyone read the story in Krishna book? No. Okay, I'll just tell it very quickly. One time, this is another opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not like Krishna is there in Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha in the spiritual world that is just dictating to everyone what to do. He also gets problems with the demigods coming to him now and again, and they go to him for the most insignificant things as well. So, just like the government here as well, you get all these subordinate directors going to him and giving him hassle, you know, complaining about him, you're not running the country, well, you know, good enough like that. So Krishna also gets this. So one time Lord Indra, he went to Krishna and he said, oh, Krishna, I need your help really badly. This is in the Bhagavatam, if you want to, the canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, I think. Anyway, then he said to Krishna, I need your help because Bomasura, he's come and he stole my mother's earrings. Can you believe it? Stealing earrings, you go to the Supreme Lord. Anyway, this earrings was very valuable. You know, gold, jewels, studded diamonds, whatever. He not only stole the earrings, but he also stole the umbrella Varuna. And he also stole the playground of the demigods, which is the Mandara Mountain. They go and have the pastimes there. So he stole that. So he said, I need your help. And Krishna said, okay. He didn't refuse anything. So he got on Garuda with Satyabhama, took his wife. I don't know why. Maybe it's to do with the earrings and jewelry. Anyway, he got on. That's speculation, by the way. He got on Garuda and went. You see, they say birds of a feather flock together. The demons all always like together. So when he went, it was called a place called Pragyoshita, where Krishna went to. But before he came in, before he found Bomasura, he came across, in Pragyoshita, he came across this fort. Really huge fort. You know, sometimes how you have in like Buckingham Palace, they got a big wall there. You have electric fence and you have sometimes little glass barbed wire. So people cannot get in. And during the war times, they build castles and all, but they build a moat around with water. So the soldiers cannot get in. So this, the Mura demon, he had this fort fortified with hills around, mountains, fire, water, huge, huge, fairly strongly built fort. And he had six heads. He was situated in the bottom of the moat, all around his water, and he was in his living quarters was in the bottom of that moat. And anyway, Krishna went there. Of course, Krishna went with all his weapons, the club. He's called Gadagaraj, the king of, you know, the clubs. So he went there with his clubs, his mace, his disc, his, you know, sword, everything he went. So as he was coming, he saw this fort. He couldn't get in. So in each one of his weapons, he smashed, you know, every fort, every, you know, obstruction that was there to get in. So anyway, he did it. He smashed everything down, was clear to move. And then he blew his conch shell. He blew his conch shell. What was it called? Pancha? Is it Pancha Janya? Anyway, he blew it so loud, it pierced the ears of the Mura demon, six-headed. So he rose to the surface. And then there was a fight. There was big fighting going on, went on and on and on, and all the soldiers. And in that fighting, Bomasura found out that Krishna came to fight his friend. So he sent all his soldiers to fight Krishna. Anyway, it's explained there that Krishna cut off the head of the Mura demon. Murari, Mura is the demon. He means the enemy of the Mura. Krishna is like the enemy of the Mura demon. For him, he's the enemy. So anyway, but they'll fight. Then he cut off his head and it was finished. And then Bomasura is the one that captured 16,000 maidens, and he had them prisoner in his camp. Anyway, then Bomasura came with all his entourage and fighting, so much fighting. And then I was thinking, yes, we have special effects with the modern day films, you know, wow, special effects. But when you read Bhagavatam, the stories there is unbelievable what Krishna does. He chops one hand, then he goes for the other hand, then he goes for the legs, then he smashes, or he says, Bomasura was sliced. His head was sliced and it fell in the water. He sliced his head with the Sudarshan Chakra. Anyway, so, okay, he did all that, finished, and he got on Garuda, Satyabhama, and he went to Indraloka. So Indraloka, okay, you know, I've done all, are you happy now? And he said, okay, yeah, thank you. Anyway, as he was leaving in the loka, Satyabhama noticed the Parijata flower. And she fell in love with this plant. And she said, oh, Krishna, I want that plant. And he said, okay. So he went try and fill the plant to give it to Satyabhama. And Indra said, you can't do that. You can't just take a plant from, you just come on. Prabhupada explains in the purport, this is the foolishness of the living entity. Krishna came, he's done everything to you. He fought two demons for you. And actually, Mother Earth came. When everything was finished, Mother Earth came up and she presented the earrings and, you know, she had it with them. So she presented it to Krishna. And she said to Krishna, my dear Lord, this is the illusion of the living entities. They think earth, water, fire, ether, the six senses, the false ego and the mind, these are all independent from you. But you are independent from them. This is their illusion to think, you know, they are the controllers. Anyway, when he came, he took the plant and Indra was like, you know, complaining, you can't take this plant. This plant belongs here. So there was a fight between Indra and Krishna for a plant. And Prabhupada explains, you know, the foolishness of the living entities. Here we have the sun, the moon, you know, everything we have, water, air, everything we have here for our convenience. And yet we think, no, there's no God. If there's no sunlight one day, what would we do? There's three things we can't survive with. It's fire, air, and the sun, the moon, and fire. It's explained in Bhagavatam. Those are the three things we can't survive with. The moon, the sun gives growth. The moon gives flavor, taste. And the fire is there for digestion and for cooking, for preparing the food. So those are the three things we can't do without. And yet we say, there's no God, you know. Anyway, then Krishna actually defeated Indra and got on his Garuda, went back to his planet. So we can see even the demigods, they still get like, they have pride, they become puffed up, they have pride to think that they have the six opulence or they are the controllers. Because when they see they can give boons and they can give blessings, then they get carried away. When it backfires and they can't correct it, then they have to run back to Krishna for help. And there's so many stories like this. Lord Shiva, he ran up so many times, and Indra ran up for help. So we know stories whereby, you know, even the demigods go for help. They're not completely independent from the Supreme Lord. So we'll just touch a little bit on Varahadev, who is actually born from the nostril of Brahma. He was the first, after Lord Brahma's was created, the first demon that was created was Hiranyaksha. And the meaning of Hiranyaksha is that Prabhupada calls it the gold rush. How did they say? Gold, something about gold rush. So he somehow captured the earth, and he pulled it right down to the Garbhodaka ocean. And Prabhupada explains in the purport there, or it's explained in the Bhagavatam, I think it's Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3, that all the planets are like balls hanging in space in the air. And if there's because this is so perfectly arranged by the Supreme Lord, when there's some disturbance, then it falls into the Garbhodaka ocean, the planets, the universe, it falls into the ocean. So the planet Earth was taken to the bottom off by Hiranyaksha, and he captured it there. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, this is what happens here in the present day when the demons, they go to exploit material nature. They dig so deep that they affect the situation, the floating of the earth. And then there's earthquakes, there's volcanoes, there's tsunami, there's this, that, and the other. There's like, you know, problems in the earth because of the exploitations of the demons. So just like this demon took the earth. And then Krishna, in his form as the Buddha incarnation, he took the form of a boar with a long snout because apparently the bottom of the ocean is not very clean, very mushy, and he had to take a form to suit that environment. And he had a long snout to lift the earth from the bottom of the ocean. So he goes to the bottom of the ocean, and then a fight ensues with Hiranyaksha and Varaha, a big fight. And some commentator says they were fighting by hand, and others say that Hiranyaksha was pierced with the tusk. Anyway, Varaha Dev, he defeated Hiranyaksha, and he lifted the earth from the nether regions slightly up. And it explained that when the earth was coming up, it looked like a full moon with little spots on it. That's how it's explained, how beautiful, how effulgent it looked, because, you know, it was being retrieved by the Supreme Personality of God, and he was actually holding it. So it's 8:30, and if anyone has any questions or comments...